Hello, hello, everyone. Blessings. Amanda Grace here with you. We are live. Today is August 25th, 2026. Welcome to everybody jumping in the United States and around the world. We're so happy to have you with us tonight. I am back in New York from being in Arkansas at Engaged Ministries. It was a wonderful, wonderful time. It's a wonderful church down there. We love Pastor Jeff and his lovely wife. We were honored to be there, but I'm back in New York, as you can see. Very happy to see all of you jumping in from the United States and around the world. As people are being notified, we have gone live. I'm going to say hi to some of you who are coming on. I see Rhode Island. God bless you. Hello, Australia. Hello to our international audience coming in. And hello to all our viewers in Australia. God bless you. I see Alberta, Canada. Hello to all our Canadian viewers. God bless you. Oh my gosh, the chat's moving so fast. Let's see. Albuquerque, New Mexico, Oklahoma, Pinellas Park, Florida, LA. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Kalispell, Montana. Hello to you. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, San Luis Valley, Colorado, Michigan, Ocala, Florida. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Barker, New York. Hello to our neighbors in New York. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Windermere, Florida, Canada, Alabama, and Anderson, Indiana. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Tulsa, Oklahoma, God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight as well. I see Lubbock, Texas. God bless you. And hello to all our wonderful viewers in Texas. Very happy to have you on with us. Hello to you in South Africa and Puerto Rico. Hello to both of you. God bless you. Thrilled to have you on with us tonight. Very happy to see you. And hello to you in the UK that are on tonight. I see you. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us as well. Oh, let's see. Caribou, Maine as well. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Rogers, Arkansas. We were just there. That's where we were. We were in Rogers, Arkansas. So hello to you. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. Let me tell you, Wright's Barbecue down there is no joke. There is a place called Wright's Barbecue. It's one of the best in the country. When I tell you, phenomenal. We love Wright's and we love their food. So we're giving them a shout out. Okay, we'll do a few more. I see Delaware. I see North Carolina, New Hampshire, Georgia, Tennessee. God bless all of you. Very happy to have you on with us tonight. Queens, New York. Hello to all our wonderful viewers in the boroughs. We're very happy to have you on with us tonight as well. I see Alabama as well. Rockford, Illinois, Ohio, Anchorage, Alaska. God bless all of you. Very thrilled to have you on with us. And hello. Thank you for the belated birthday wishes. Yes, my birthday was August 19th, interestingly enough, only Almighty God could have orchestrated me turning 47 in the time of the 47th presidency in the 47th year where the Ayatollah fell. So that is just interesting, given what the Lord has had me prophesy, that is when I happen to turn 47. And hello to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team. Thank you for helping us do what we do for the Lord. Okay, we got a powerful word for you tonight. This is going to be jam-packed, and you are going to hear a prophetic word and the mystery of Genesis 37 and what transpires in it like you've never heard it before. So all glory be to God for that. So I want to open up in prayer. Hello to you in Uppsala, Sweden, who has just come on. God bless you. Very happy to have you on with us. I just saw you come into the chat. We're thrilled to have you with us. Okay, so... Oh, and someone's 47th anniversary was on August 18th. Well, happy 47th anniversary to you. Very happy for you. So let me just open up in prayer. We're going to give this over to the Lord, and then we're going to get into this word because it is like I believe many of you have never heard it before, the way the Lord has given this to me for the next 2 to 3 years in this nation. So this is something that I have not released publicly yet. I did touch on it in Arkansas. And so I'm going to be speaking about it tonight because it's that important, that we definitely need to broadcast it and deliver this word the way the Lord wants it delivered. So I'm also on the tail end of a cold, so please bear with me. Praise God, I feel 95% better. I'm on the tail end. And so we're still going. We're powering through, people. We're powering through. Okay, so let us open up in prayer, give this over to the Lord, and then we will start tonight. Father God, in the precious name of your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, Lord, we come before you this day. We praise you. You are almighty God. You are high and lifted up far above every power, principality, and might. Lord, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise due your holy, precious name. We humble ourselves before you this day, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, Lord. Forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. Father, we just praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. Lord, we come before your courts with thanksgiving and praise, saying, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. It is written, seek ye first the kingdom of God and its righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Help us to seek your kingdom first. Teach us what pleases you today, Lord. Equip us to walk in your ways, Father God. Lord, we come boldly but humbly to the throne of grace, Father God, asking you to forgive us of our sins, cleanse us of all unrighteousness, forgive us of every way we've sinned and fallen short. Father, I praise you. Your mercies are new every single day. And Lord, we acknowledge you sent your son, Jesus Christ, Yeshua HaMashiach, to the earth, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He was the Passover lamb, the sacrifice for our sins. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And the word became flesh and dwelt among us. He willingly died at Calvary. He purchased us by the shedding of his own blood. He was beaten for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes, we are healed. And we praise you, Father God, that Christ blotted out ordinances. He disarmed principalities and powers. He made an open show and spectacle of the enemy before all of creation. He miraculously rose again. He is victoriously seated at the right hand of the Father, ruling and reigning forevermore. He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the name above all names, and our advocate without ceasing before your throne. And we honor that before you this day. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we welcome your presence in. The presence of Ruach Elohim, the Spirit of the living God, and the Ruach HaKadosh, the Holy Spirit, into this place. Father, let the weight of your glory fall, the power of your presence move. Father, let just your truth, your authority, your conviction, the weight of the holiness of who you are, mightily, mightily move in this place. Father, let people tangibly feel your presence as we go forth tonight, Lord, that your truth, Father God, your prophetic utterance, what you once said, Father God, would mightily go forth tonight. Lord, go before us tonight. Be our front and rear guard. Order our steps. Order the steps of our team. Order my words, Father God, as we go forth in you. Fill us in the name of Jesus Christ with your wisdom, counsel, might, power, and the reverential fear of the Lord. By the power of the blood of Jesus Christ, by the spirit of the one true living God, may only the truth and power of Almighty God with authority now come forth, Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ. Father, let nothing pass through my mouth that doesn't pass through your throne first. Allow me, Lord, and our team, the humble privilege of being vessels of your power. Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you would loose, send, and dispatch your holy angels of all offices, rankings, and divisions to surround the skies, the land above and below, north, south, east, and west, to guard against every dimensional access point, Father God. Lord, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke every plot, scheme, contract, assignment, weaponry, blueprint, attack, strategy, sabotage, hindrance, interference, witchcraft, spell, incantation, dark magic, dark arts, any form of weaponized demonic activity sent against this broadcast, sent against Ark of Grace Ministries, Father God, in the sanctuary, Father God, in the name of Jesus Christ, I rebuke it now. I command it be destroyed, dismantled, disabled, thwarted, disrupted, blocked, nullified, voided, disarmed, rendered powerless, and their communication lines disrupted so they cannot carry out their plans. And cast out in the name of Jesus Christ back to the areas you have designated for such, Father, to be blocked from returning or having anything sent in its place. Father, take all the glory for yourself. You are the potter. We are most certainly just the clay. You are the author and finisher of our faith. Every breath we take is because of you, Father God. Lord, we praise you that the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous run to it, and they are safe. That you redeem the brokenhearted, that you save those who are crushed in spirit, for it is written, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. Father, we praise you, Father God, and thank you, Lord, that you work all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose, that you order our steps, Father God, that you lead and guide us, that you say, this is the way. way, walk ye in it, whenever we turn to the right or to the left, Father. Lord, we just praise you, Lord. Take all the glory for yourself, Father God. We just thank you tonight, Lord. We praise you. You are a wonderful God. You are an amazing Father. You are the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. You are he who liveth and died, and behold, you are alive forevermore, Lord. We praise you and we thank you tonight in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Welcome to those of you who are jumping on during prayer. If you could share this broadcast, we would very much appreciate it right now. Like, subscribe, hit the notification bell so you're notified every time we put out content. We greatly appreciate it. We're so appreciative to our subscribers and our Ark of Grace family for doing that for us. And we thank you ahead of time. I also had to thank our moderators, our wonderful moderators, who had a little birthday gift sent to me today. From Boston proper, as we know, that's one of my favorite stores. And it's a beautiful, beautiful necklace that I will be wearing on an upcoming broadcast because I absolutely love it. Moderators, thank you for all the work you do. Thank you for this amazing birthday gift. I am so, so grateful to you for thinking of me in that way. Praise the Lord. Okay. Yep, I got it. Yeah, Renee's going, yay. One of our moderators, Renee, she's like, yay, she got it. Yep, I got it, Renee. Thank you very much to all of our moderators. I'm very, very grateful to all of you. Okay, so this is a prophetic word tonight having to do with the mystery in Genesis 37 that contains a key to the next 2 to 3 years in this nation. You are going to hear Genesis 37, the account of Joseph being sold into slavery and the Ishmaelites and his brothers and what happens from that, probably like you have never heard it before. And so we are going to begin, I'm going to start somewhere else, but we're going to end up in Genesis 37 with this word. Okay. So this is what we're going to do. I'm going to lay the groundwork here and then we're going to get into Genesis 37 tonight. So the years, and I've said this before, 2025 to 2027 equals 9/11. And then that equals 9/11 those years. And then we go into 2028. We go into the 48th presidential election and a Shemitah year. So you go from the 2 year window that equals 9/11 into a presidential election and a Shemitah year. Within this 9/11 window within this year, we have America's 250th year and the 25th anniversary of 9/11 this year that collides with Rosh Hashanah, the Feast of Trumpets, which is set to begin on 9/11. All occurs within this window. Trump's own presidencies, 45 and 47, also equal 9/11. 4 plus 5 is 9, 4 plus 7 is 11, 9/11. Now, this is aligned, all of this, with what we are attempting to see rise in this nation. It's rising within this window. It's an alarm that we as the church should be paying attention to. Now, before we go to Genesis 37, I want to go back to Genesis 16:12 for a minute to set the groundwork, right? Now, Genesis 16:12, 16 plus 12 is 28, that's our next election, says, it's a prophecy. Genesis 16:12 is a prophecy about an unholy merger that would come thousands of years later. And it says, he, Ishmael, will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against every man and every man's hand against him. And he will dwell in defiance of all of his brothers. Ishmael will be a wild donkey of a man. His hand will be against every man. He will dwell in defiance of all of his brothers. What party has merged with Islam more than any other in this nation? The Democratic Party. And what is their symbol? The donkey. Ishmael will be a wild donkey of a man. Now his hand will be against every man, and he will dwell in defiance of his brothers. The symbol of socialism is a fist held up like this in defiance. This was really a prophecy about these three groups that would merge together in the end times, which is what we are watching happen. We are watching this unholy merger between Islam, the Democratic Party, and socialism form in this nation. Why? Well, Genesis 16:12 warned about it, but we have to go back to 1848 for a minute. And after I lay this groundwork, we're going to go to Genesis 37. If we go to February 21st, 1848, Karl Marx publishes the Communist Manifesto just 27 days before Purim that year. Purim that year began March 19th, 1848. What happened that year on Purim was a blood moon. So the Purim after Karl Marx releases the Communist Manifesto is marked by a blood moon. So Karl Marx publishes the Communist Manifesto, and less than 30 days later, there is a blood moon marking Purim, marking the decree of destruction that went out when it came to Karl Marx and the Communist Manifesto. We have to understand that Karl Marx had a covenant and an agreement with the devil himself. He did. He had a covenant with him. Now, his full name is Karl Heinrich Marx. He has something hidden in his name, Karl Heinrich Marx. You can actually spell Haman from his name, Karl Heinrich Marx. Haman is hidden in his name as well from the book of Esther, who put out the decrees of destruction against the people of God. Haman did in the book of Esther, and in his own manifesto, the Communist Manifesto, a decree of destruction went out into the earth. And he as well has the name Haman hidden in his name. Same as Zohram Mamdani, same as the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, which we'll get into in a moment, but he's got that hidden in his name. 178 years later, the year 2026, Purim is marked by a blood moon. And within that year, Zohran Mamdani, a communist socialist who also has Haman hidden in his name, is raised up out of New York City. And the Ayatollah Ali Khomeini, who has Haman hidden in his name, falls days before the Purim blood moon. So in 1848, after the man, Karl Heinrich Marx, that has Haman hidden in his name, releases the Communist Manifesto, less than a month later, Purim is marked by a blood moon. 178 years later, in the year 2026, once again, Purim is marked by a blood moon. And within that year, you have Zohran Mamdani, the communist socialist raised up, who has Haman hidden in his name. He's raised up out of New York City. And the Ayatollah, who has Haman in his name, falls that same year. Now, exactly 100 years later from 1948, Israel would be birthed as a nation 100 years after the Communist Manifesto was released. 100 years, Israel is birthed as a nation because the enemy preemptively sends out decrees of destruction in an attempt to stop what the Lord is birthing in the earth. Because we have to understand, a physical Israel is a prophetic time clock. That for Ezekiel 38 and these other events in Revelation to happen, you have to have a physical Israel that is existing. However, we are watching an attempted alignment of 1848 and a new branch of the Communist Manifesto arise within the earth. It arises once again in the year Purim is marked by a blood moon, and next year, where there will be the longest eclipse in a century in 2027, lasting over 6 minutes, where Mecca, the holiest site of Islam, will be plunged into darkness. Turkey will experience near totality, where the altar of Pergamum was built, listed in Revelation chapter 2 as the throne of Satan, and part of Europe will be plunged into darkness as well. And we wonder why what's aligning is attempting to align now. We wonder why there is an invasion in Europe now, and they are merging in Europe, right? Islam and socialism. And now we're watching it attempt to rise in America. Now, when the Communist Manifesto was released, there was a wave of revolutions across Europe called the Revolutions of 1848, known as the Springtime of the Peoples. And it was a series of widespread uprisings across Europe aimed at challenging monarchies and advocating for national self-determination and liberal reforms. So in the year the Communist Manifesto was released, marked by a blood moon, there are protests and uprisings demanding liberal reforms. And ultimately, this revolution failed because of not only internal divisions, but conservative backlash. Now, what they are attempting here in a year marked by a blood moon and next year marked by the longest eclipse in a century is Karl Marx 2.0. Communist Manifesto 2.0. It's an offshoot of a wicked root where the seeds were planted in 1848 that in this season have been fertilized by the combination, the unholy merger of Islam, Democrat, Socialist, Communist. So whether it's the raising up of a leader that is righteous or nefarious, there is always some type of covenant within that nation made that opens a gate for that to happen. We are watching that attempt to happen in this time in this nation. And right now, the enemy is attempting to exploit through the attachment between America and Europe. He is attempting to exploit this and bring forth the Communist Manifesto 2.0. However, Genesis 37 is a key to understanding the next 2 years in this nation and what we're going to see and witness. So now we're going to get into Genesis 37. And Genesis 37 has to do with Joseph, has to do with the Ishmaelites, has to do with what happened to Joseph, and what came from that in a nation. So there's a key here to Genesis 37 to understanding what we see happening over the next 2 to 3 years. Now, Genesis, it starts, Genesis 37, 2. These are the generations of Jacob. Joseph, when he was 17 years old, was shepherding the flock with his brothers. The boy was with the sons of Bilhah and Zilpah, his father's secondary wives, and Joseph brought back a bad report about them to their father. So Joseph brings a bad report about his brothers to the father. So Joseph exposes his brothers are corrupt. They're not upright. They're not doing what they're supposed to do. He informs his father of this. This is the beginning seeds of a brokered sale and a deal to come that on the surface looks detrimental, but position multiple nations for deliverance and preservation in a time of hardship. Now, go to Genesis 37, verses 4 through 8, because this is our next election is the 48th election. But when his brothers saw that their father loved him more than all his brothers, they hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. Now, Joseph had a dream, and he told it to his brothers, and they hated him even more. So he said to them, please hear this dream which I have dreamed. There we were binding sheaves in the field. Then behold, my sheaf arose and also stood upright. And indeed, your sheaves stood all around and bowed down to my sheaf. And his brothers said to him, shall you indeed reign over us, or shall you indeed have dominion over us? So they hated him even more for his dreams and for his words. So Joseph is 17. He doesn't have the discernment that he needs at the moment. And he discloses the dream to his brothers that make him even more hostile towards him. They hated him and could not speak peaceably to him. The ones who hated and could not speak peaceably to him made an agreement with the Ishmaelites ultimately to sell Joseph. Joseph's own kind made that deal to sell him because they were jealous. He was anointed and set apart. They were compromised and corrupt. And Joseph was a reminder of the dividing line. This was a battle over a birthright. And Joseph's own kind are about to make a deal with the Ishmaelites, not only for money, but to get the one who is favored out of the way so they can, through corrupt means, move up the ranks. This has to do with what's happening in America right now. So what I'm talking about, this has to do with America. This has to do with parts of Europe as well. This even has to do with Israel. By verse 18, Genesis 37, 18, they are conspiring against him. By verse 20, they want to kill him. They see killing Joseph is not going to work ultimately, but also it will not profit them either. And that's the key word. By verse 26, Judah Joseph's brother proposes selling him. Now we're in the year 2026. It is in Genesis 37, 26. Judah proposes selling Joseph. Judah proposes selling Joseph to the Ishmaelites. I'm telling you, this is going to happen as well with the leadership of Israel, as well as their own kind are going to attempt to sell Netanyahu to the Ishmaelite traders. Watch. Watch what happens when they attempt to broker this sale in Israel as well, because there's a brokered sale attempting to happen in our nation as well of America. Genesis 37, 26 through 28. This represents the years 2026 to 2028. So Judah said to his brothers, what profit is there if we kill our brother and conceal his blood? Come and let us sell him to the Ishmaelites, which are from Ishmael. Islam is in the name Ishmael. Come, let us sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, for he is our brother in our flesh. And his brothers listened. Then Midianite traders passed by. So the brothers pulled Joseph and lifted him out of the pit that they had put him in and sold him to the Ishmaelites for 20 shekels of silver. And they took Joseph to Egypt. Now, Genesis 37, 26, what profit is it if we slay our brother and conceal his blood? That was said. Judah proposes, let's sell him to the Ishmaelites and let not our hand be upon him, because after all, he is our brother. Well, isn't that noble of Judah that he wants to sell his brother as a slave instead of kill him? Okay. Instead of killing him, let's sell him into slavery so we can make money off of him and be rid of him at the same time and get a more prestigious place of influence within the family, continue our corrupt means. Keep in mind, this is Joseph's own making a deal with Ishmael to sell him. That is a prophetic word and warning for the midterms and for the 2028 election. It was Joseph's own kind that made the deal with Ishmael to sell Joseph. That is a warning for what's happening when it comes between the midterms and the 2028 election. It's his own kind brokering the sale and making the agreement. Then there passed Midianite merchantmen, which were the Ishmaelites, and they drew and lifted up Joseph out of the pit, sold Joseph to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver, and they brought Joseph into Egypt. So they pulled Joseph out of a pit, only to put him in chains. It's trading one bondage for another. The bondage of the pit is now traded for the bondage of chains. He was going to be killed in the pit. Instead, he's put in chains and taken to Egypt. 20 pieces of silver. He's 17 years old. 2017. Now, back in 2017 in this nation, is when the Muslim population began to increase significantly. It grew an enormous amount from 2017 to now. It's not just the Democrats who are making these dangerous deals right now. Trump's own party, his own, are making deals to attempt to sell the midterms and 2028 to the Ishmaelites to stay in power and move up the ranks. It's not just the Democrats. It wasn't the Ishmaelite traitors that were the catalyst for the deal with Joseph. It was his own kind. It was his own brothers that propositioned the Ishmaelite traitors. Right now, our own kind and the Ishmaelites are attempting to sell the American people a package that's really slavery. And in Islamic law, they can only let slaves go if they convert to being a Muslim. Non-Muslim slaves, by Islamic law, are not allowed to be let go. Just a fun fact there. That is written in Islamic law. Now, go to Genesis 37, 25. It says, and they sat down to eat a meal. Then they lifted their eyes and looked, and there was a company of Ishmaelites coming from Gilead with their camels bearing spices, balm, and myrrh on their way to carry them down to Egypt. A company gathers in verse 25. They're coming from Gilead. Gilead means heap of testimony, because all their conspiring is just going to make Joseph's testimony greater. They're coming from a place called heap of testimony. Joseph's brothers lift up their eyes. They see them coming in the distance, and they begin conspiring to make this deal. Now, what happened in 2025 after President Trump took office? A company of Ishmaelites began to gather with their resources and began to move to make a trade and position themselves for the next elections. And they sought to make deals and merge. And we watched the forming of an unholy alliance of Islam, Democrat, Socialist, which was foretold in Genesis 16:12 and is a foreshadowing of the dragon, the beast, and the false prophet of Revelation 13. The brothers have one intention. The Ishmaelites have another. Both their intentions are to enslave and harm and usurp for power. God has a whole other plan that supersedes their corruption, and he is actually going to utilize their corruption as a vehicle to position Joseph. Joseph doesn't realize that, neither do Joseph's brothers, neither do the Ishmaelites, but God is going to utilize the corruption that the Ishmaelites are operating in with Joseph's brothers to position Joseph to lead. Their intention is to destroy Joseph, sell Joseph into slavery for profit. God's purpose, move Joseph and position him, utilizing the very people who had plans to destroy him. They think we're getting rid of him. God is effectively saying, I'm sending him and raising him ahead of you. Now, here is where it's going to get very interesting, because the Lord utilized the Ishmaelites to carry Joseph into Egypt, positioning Joseph for his rise to power. The Ishmaelites thought they were buying a slave when really they were positioning a leader. I'm going to say that again for what's happening in this nation right now. I'm going to say it again. The Ishmaelites thought they were buying a slave when really they were positioning a leader. The Ishmaelites saw a business opportunity in Joseph to trade the life of a human being for what they wanted. However, God was setting them up and utilizing them to position the leader that would ultimately outrank them, rule over them, and in which they would have to come to buy food when famine came to the land. These Ishmaelite Islamic candidates right now are saying, well, they're saying the same thing. They're making deals and saying the same thing Joseph's brothers and the Ishmaelites said. Let's not kill them. Let's enslave their nation and make their nation serve our laws and ideals and beliefs. And let's cause them more and more to have to submit to that. And they're working with our own kind to do it. They're not just working with the Democrats. They are making deals with our own kind secretly for the next two elections. But Almighty God says, hi, Toby, I'm just using you, you Ishmaelites and Joseph's brothers. I'm just using you in your ignorance and your corruption to compel a nation spiritually and physically and in leadership and force it where it needs to go, where it needs to be positioned. So it may look like the slave in Potiphar's house for a moment. It may look like the prison for a moment. It may look like the Ishmaelites enslaved Joseph. It may look like they have the upper hand, but there is a positioning happening in order to elevate who God has chosen for this nation. The Ishmaelites are attempting to use the people in this nation as a commodity. However, God is allowing a compelling to position the nation. What comes after the Ishmaelites buy Joseph as a slave? Potiphar's wife arises. Joseph ends up in Potiphar's house. He ends up in Potiphar's house. Potiphar's wife comes along with a manipulative, deceptive, perverse accusations. She has her own plan to try and derail what the Lord is doing. And then Almighty God has a plan to usurp her. From 2026 to 2028, a female will arise in this nation. A female will arise in the elections as a Potiphar's wife, and will arise who is working from the same root as the Ishmaelites, from the same place of falsity and blasphemy. Potiphar's wife and Joseph's brothers and Haman from the book of Esther all have the same motive. Throw Joseph in a pit, throw God's people in a pit, throw Mordecai in a pit, send out decrees of destruction against the people of God because they won't come into agreement with their corrupt plans to usurp and take power. Joseph was the brother of Benjamin. Mordecai in the book of Esther was from the tribe of Benjamin. The Ishmaelites, Potiphar's wife, are coming from the same root of Haman. They're all coming from the same root. They all have a plan for power. They all have a coup planned. They all see Joseph and Mordecai as someone who's standing in the way to their rise. So they sought to remove them. They sought to make a deal with the Ishmaelite traders and the Persian government to remove Joseph, to remove Mordecai. And in the process of their plans, there was a reversal and their plans fall apart. The Ishmaelites' plans, Potiphar's wife, Haman, their plans all fall apart, because they were all actually utilized in their corruption to position Joseph and Mordecai to lead pagan nations, to lead nations that didn't fully serve the Lord, to lead nations where the influence of the godly was needed at the very top level. There is a preparation happening. There is a positioning happening. The Ishmaelite traders are out looking to make a deal with Joseph's brothers right now in this nation. Potiphar's wife is positioning herself as a false voice of truth and priming herself to attempt to raise herself and her voice above Joseph. Joseph's brothers are poised to throw Joseph in a pit and position him for the Ishmaelites and their money and their plans to do business in Egypt and enslave. So the one whom God has anointed is stopped from being raised up in the nation. You're going to see a shadow of this occur within the Trump administration within the next 2 years. What I'm telling you with all of this, you will see a shadow of this occur in that administration within the next 2 years. The pit becomes the pathway. It appears dark. It appears to be a setback. It appears as for a moment it will stop Joseph's life from continuing. However, it is a setup. He goes from his father's house to the pit, to slavery, to Egypt, to prison, to the palace of Pharaoh. Joseph is sold for 20 pieces of silver. His brothers betray him and sell him to profit and position themselves in the hierarchy of the family. A monetary deal is made with the Ishmaelites for profit, power, and position. Joseph is valuable to the Ishmaelites. He is young. He's able-bodied. He's good-looking. He's a commodity. And they believe a vehicle for their corrupt purposes and enterprise. Their agenda involves enslaving who is called and anointed by God and making a deal with Egypt to do it. See, there are two deals being made here. Joseph's brothers are making a deal with the Ishmaelites, and then the Ishmaelites are making a deal with Egypt. Why is this important? Because Egypt is the very place the people of God would become enslaved for 400 years. Egypt was only supposed to be a season during Joseph's reign for the people of God. It was not supposed to be where the people of God permanently lived and stayed and multiplied. However, the Lord has Joseph in Egypt in the enemy's camp. And the enemy has no clue what they are actually possessing and brokering, because if they did, they would have killed Joseph before he got to Egypt. He is with the Ishmaelites, then he is in Egypt. He faces off against Potiphar's wife, who decides to spread fake news because she couldn't have her way with Joseph. She decides to launch a smear campaign and a slander campaign to cover up her crimes. Now, back to Joseph's brothers for a moment. We'll get back to her. When the sale is brokered between Joseph's brothers and the Ishmaelites, his brothers concocted an elaborate conspiracy. They kill a wild animal, so they make a sacrifice. It was a goat. And dip Joseph's blood. They dip Joseph's coat in the blood of the goat to present the deception that Joseph is dead, that this is not continuing, that the call is not continuing. They shed innocent blood to cover up what they have done. They utilize that to put Joseph's father's attention on a false narrative and to make a deception believable. Joseph is made to look dead, as if it's over for Joseph. His father's house is made to believe that story by an elaborate cover-up. However, as his father's house believes it's over, Joseph is behind enemy lines, being divinely positioned for one of the greatest divine reversals to ever take place. Right now, that is going on. Through character assassination and the cover-up that's being formed in this nation that's going on. It's not just the party of the donkey that has made a deal. Remember, it's Joseph's own who makes the deal. Those in the conservative party, Joseph's own brothers, are planning for the pit, creating the conspiracies and cover-up, making a deal with the Ishmaelites to destroy what God has ordained. The Ishmaelites and the brothers have made a deal. Joseph is the deliverer they are looking to destroy. The very one who actually has been anointed to deliver that entire area from famine. They are looking to destroy. The enemy is attempting to destroy Joseph through his own kind and the Ishmaelites in order to stop Joseph's appointed time of leadership. The enemy thought when Joseph came into the hands of the Ishmaelites, he had him enslaved, contained, and out of alignment of his destiny. That is exactly what is happening in the conservative movement with the woke right. They are making the deals now with the Ishmaelites. They are seeing the company of Ishmaelites coming. They are transacting with them, aligning with them, agreeing to create a conspiracy and a cover-up of all the deals that they've made with them. That is happening on the right now in this nation as we speak. Joseph ends up having more power than the Ishmaelites, Potiphar's wife, and his brothers combined by Almighty God's positioning of his life by the time it's complete. All of those who had the power momentarily to enslave him, Joseph ended up having the power to imprison all of them. All of those who had the power momentarily to enslave Joseph, by the end, Joseph ends up having the power to imprison all of them. Joseph eventually tells his brothers, God did send me before you to preserve you a posterity in the earth and to save your lives by a great deliverance. The conspiracy, the betrayal, becomes a vehicle for their own preservation, even in their wickedness. The selling to the Ishmaelites, the making a deal with them, the conspiracy, the betrayal, all of it becomes a vehicle for their own preservation, ultimately. Even in their wickedness. That completely reframes Genesis 37. And what happened? The brothers thought they were sending Joseph away. God was sending Joseph ahead of them. They thought the deal with Ishmael and the cover-up would stand. It all comes very suddenly crashing down. That is one of the most profound ideas in this account. The brother's evil becomes the vehicle through which God positions Joseph to save the very people who betrayed him, to be raised to lead a nation in itself that fully does not serve the Lord. The brothers, the Ishmaelites, their deal and their evil becomes the very vehicle through which God positions Joseph to save an entire nation. That's grace. That's God's ways far beyond human comprehension. That is Almighty God working all things together for good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Not the world's purpose, but his purpose. And that's providence. And that's the sovereignty of God at work. The Ishmaelites and all their corruption and how they viewed men as commodities to enslave them and all their thinking that Joseph was merely leveraged to make a deal with Egypt when truly in him was the birthing process of a leader. Now, Judah is the one who proposes selling Joseph instead of killing him. Judah is the line and the tribe in which Christ would be birthed through. And ultimately, Christ as well would be betrayed by one of his own. So Judah, who says, let's sell Joseph, becomes the line that Christ is birthed through, that then Christ is betrayed by one of his own disciples, Judas. Judah and Judas are separated by just two letters. This becomes fascinating and pivotal as this account continues. Remember, it's Judah that makes a deal with the Ishmaelites. He is the catalyst of that transaction. He says, let's sell him instead to get rid of him. Judas is the catalyst for the transaction with the Pharisees to broker the sale and arrest of Christ. Pharisees and Pharaoh both begin with the same four letters. When there is betrayal, there is a setup unbeknownst to the conspirator for deliverance. In both cases, with Joseph and with the account of Christ being betrayed, the betrayal is a setup unbeknownst to the conspirator and the betrayer for deliverance. Right now, there's a lot of talk in this nation. The Jews sold us out. It's all the Jews' fault. We are in this position. The Jews are controlling everything. However, what if there, and I'm saying what if, I'm not saying this is definite. What if they're Judah in this whole plot unfolding in our nation? And some of the very agreements being made are what is meant to position the next leader. Not in the way we would expect in our finite minds, not the way we would have done it or planned. Praise the Lord. In Genesis 44, when Benjamin, Joseph's brother, is threatened to be kept under guard by Joseph because they don't recognize it's Joseph, Judah offers himself in Benjamin's place. So that's a dramatic reversal. In Genesis 37, Judah sacrifices Joseph to save himself. In Genesis 44, Judah offers himself to save Benjamin. And eventually the Messiah comes through Judah's line. And then the Messiah is sold for 30 pieces of silver to broker an arrest and a deal made with the Pharisees by Judas. So the man who once participates in selling his brother becomes the ancestor of the tribe from which the Davidic kingship and ultimately Christ comes, which means Judah becomes the vehicle for deliverance. Judah and his corruption becomes the vehicle and ultimately the greatest deliverance that ever occurred with Christ dying on the cross for humanity would happen. The corrupt plans of man become the vehicle for God's ultimate plan of deliverance. Now, back to Genesis 37:20. Look at what they say in verse 20. We will see what will become of his dream. So when they go to sell him and they want to kill him and then they go, no, let's sell him. They'll say, let's see what becomes of his dreams. They're mocking him. They're saying, let's destroy him. Destroy the plans. Destroy the dream. However, they lack the understanding and maturity to comprehend that the dream isn't dependent upon their cooperation. The dream that Joseph had with all those sheaves bowing to his, that is not dependent on the cooperation of his brothers, of the Ishmaelites, or of anybody else. God gave the dream. Therefore, Almighty God is the steward over bringing the dream to its fullness. And the responsibility is on God to bring it to its completion, not on man. Therefore, Joseph's destiny isn't ultimately controlled by his brothers, the Ishmaelites, their behavior, or their plots or plans. They can strip Joseph's coat, throw him in a pit, sell him, deceive their father. No matter the deals they broker, no matter the deceptions they participate in, the pits they create, no matter their colluding with the Ishmaelites, no matter their motive, they cannot cancel or destroy what Almighty God has ordained. And we have to get a hold of this. It doesn't matter what the Ishmaelites right now are trying to broker with our own kind. It doesn't matter the alliance that the Democrats have made with Islam. It doesn't matter the woke right now in their corruption, the deal they're making with the Ishmaelites, because it ultimately cannot cancel or destroy what Almighty God has ordained for this nation. The Ishmaelites, Joseph's brothers, Potiphar's wife, were all pawns utilized in their own corruption to raise Joseph above them. Genesis 37:21. But Reuben heard it. So what happens is when he's in the pit, Reuben, the oldest brother, and no, I'm not talking about the sandwich, although I know many of you love that out there. This is Joseph's older brother. But Reuben heard it, and he delivered him out of their hands because he heard they wanted to kill him, and said, "Let us not kill him." And Reuben said to them, "Shed no blood, but cast him into this pit, which is in the wilderness, and do not lay a hand on him, that he might deliver him out of their hands and bring him back to his father." So Reuben's idea to put Joseph in the pit was to contain him in order to distract the brothers to get Joseph out and bring him back to his brother. Now, this is important here. Reuben's plans of deliverance was not God's plan of deliverance. Reuben had a plan of premature deliverance. God had a plan of deliverance that would elevate Joseph's authority. Reuben's plan was regional. Deliver Joseph back to his father. Almighty God's plan was national. Move Joseph away from the corruption of the region to elevate him above a nation that doesn't even serve the Lord, however, would be influenced heavily by the one who does. This is Genesis 37:21. And in 2021, this is why I'm saying this. In 2021, many were saying the election needed to be overturned, that Congress needed to overturn the results of the 2020 election, that President Trump needed to come back now. That was Reuben talking. A plan of premature deliverance. That was the plan of Reuben. That wasn't the plan of Almighty God. Had Reuben delivered Joseph back to his father, famine would have come to the land. There would have been no deliverer in Egypt that understood the logistics of preparation from God as Joseph did. And Joseph's entire family, along with Joseph, would have perished along with his people. Joseph could have been delivered back to his father, and it may have brought his father temporary relief emotionally. However, it would have destroyed his family physically, financially, had Reuben's plan of deliverance succeeded, and Joseph was never carried to Egypt by the Ishmaelites. Remember this, Joseph was forced and compelled to go to Egypt. He did not go of his own free will. He was literally moved against his will by the Ishmaelites in the direction Almighty God needed him to go. There are times Almighty God understands a person, a nation, a leader is not going to move in the direction willingly. So he must allow circumstances to force it in the direction he needs it to go, because there is a far greater plan of deliverance that goes beyond the region. had the Lord said to Joseph, arise, go to Egypt, because you will become a great ruler there, Joseph would have announced it prematurely, just like he announced those dreams to his brothers. His father Jacob out of the flesh would have stopped him. His brothers would have sabotaged him. And the plans of the Lord that the Lord had would have been severely impacted, and it would have impacted the entire nation, and famine would have overtaken it. The Ishmaelites making deals with those in the land, Joseph's brothers, became the vehicle that forced Joseph to go in the direction the Lord needed him to go, because otherwise he would have not willingly moved in that direction. The Ishmaelites become the vehicle to compel the leader in the direction Almighty God wants him to go. Ishmael in this nation right now, the deals they're making with our own kind to sell us out, in the primaries and the midterms with the goal of 2028 and that election. They're looking to make deals. They are being utilized by the Lord to compel and force the nation, the leadership in the church, to move in the direction the Lord needs us to go, because we are not going willingly. We are being compelled by what we see happening. We are being pushed by force because the Ishmaelite traitors are upon us. We have to move in the direction the Lord is compelling us in order to bring forth a greater plan, a greater purpose, a greater deliverance in the nation, a positioning to be prepared, because famine will at some point come to the land. So right now, the Ishmaelite traitors are upon us, and the Lord is allowing them to push us and move us into a direction we might not have gone willingly, including with the leadership of this nation right now. The Ishmaelites thought they had dominance over Joseph. They thought they had possession of a valuable commodity to utilize for their fleshly purposes. It was for a very short moment. The deal made between Joseph's own kind and the Ishmaelites, that they were given authority over Joseph in order to move him and position him where the Lord needed him to be, to prepare him for the purposes the Lord had ordained long before him, in order to bring nations into alignment and deliver them. The betrayal that Joseph's brothers cultivated is the root of the agreement with the Ishmaelites that becomes the vehicle to position whom God is called to lead. That ultimately, that deal is the vehicle that goes and positions Joseph as a leader in Egypt. The Ishmaelites are being utilized to force the nation, America, even Europe to a degree, because the Lord's trying to compel Europe right now. The Ishmaelites are being used and utilized to force the nation, the leadership, and the church in the direction it needs to go. There are deals being made right now that are compelling us and forcing us into a certain direction. This is why, as the Ishmaelites rise in this nation, as Ishmael rises in this nation, and the traitors have come to make a deal to destroy a nation, you will see betrayal go out in this time, in the last 2 years of the Trump presidency, and it will be shocking. However, the corrupt root of betrayal in this nation shall catapult into position who God has called to lead. I'm going to say that again. This is why, as the Ishmaelites rise in this nation, and the traitors have come to make a deal to destroy a nation and enslave it, you will see betrayal go out in this time, in the last 2 years of the Trump presidency, and it will be shocking. However, the corrupt root of betrayal shall catapult into position who God is called to lead. Joseph's brothers made a deal with the Ishmaelites and betrayed him, and it forced him into Egypt, into Potiphar's house, where he prospered as a slave. In fact, Genesis 39:3 says, now his master Potiphar saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord caused all that he did to prosper in his hand. The pagan Egyptian official who does not even serve the Lord recognized that the Lord was with Joseph. Joseph's own brothers could not recognize that the Lord was with Joseph, his own kind. But the pagan in Egypt recognized the Lord was with Joseph. Let me tell you, when the Lord is with you, your enemies, those who don't even serve the Lord, are compelled to recognize it. It won't be your own kind that necessarily recognizes it. It's going to be your enemies and those who don't even serve the Lord that are going to recognize that the Lord is with you. Potiphar's wife then betrays Joseph. He won't collude with her in an unclean act and agreement against his master. And she makes up fake news that spreads throughout the house and area of Egypt, including its government. And that betrayal forces Joseph to be moved to the prison, where Joseph meets the cupbearer of Pharaoh and interprets his dream and the gift God gave Joseph of prophecy and interpretation and wisdom the cupbearer now experiences in prison. God positions Joseph in the prison to demonstrate his gifting to the man that is going to be elevated back to the palace. Two betrayals have brought Joseph to this incredible moment where who will have the ear of Pharaoh now has the ear of Joseph. So Joseph now has the ear of the one who will have the ear of Pharaoh. Two betrayals have brought him to this moment. And after two betrayals and looking as if it's all over for Joseph, his brothers betrayed him. The Ishmaelites made a deal to sell him as a slave. Potiphar's wife betrays him and smears him to cover up her own sin. She launches an epic media smear campaign against him. Joseph is now in position for a rise to leadership in the most unlikely of circumstances for the cupbearer to be utilized by Almighty God to bring about the alignment of Joseph's deliverance, his calling, and the shifting of a nation's policies, their leadership, their interests, and how they prepare for crisis. That is why Joseph's story becomes such a powerful study in divine providence and the greater picture in the plans and purposes of God. However, we will see the ultimate reversal occurs, and Joseph is raised to power in Egypt and now has authority over all of Egypt, his brother, the Ishmaelite traders, and Potiphar's wife. The account of Joseph follows the blueprint of Purim. Decree of destruction goes out against him. There is a period of turmoil and uncertainty. And then there is a divine reversal. And Joseph is saved, raised up in order to save his own people. Now, it took 13 years for all of this to happen. From the time Joseph was 17 and sold as a slave to the time he was 30, he was raised up as a leader. 13 years from 2028, our next election would be 2015. When an Ishmaelite candidate as president, Barack Obama, was in his last year of office and he was attempting to make a deal for the years ahead. We have to understand the enemy has a plan utilizing the Ishmaelites and our own in this nation to try and commit a robbery in progress because he is a thief. However, God has a greater plan to utilize their corruption to bring forth a positioning and a deliverance in this nation. The enemy works his plan for the short term. However, the Lord utilizes their plots for a long-term positioning because he's so far ahead. The question is, are we willing to be compelled in the direction the Lord needs us to go, even if it doesn't look the way we thought it would look? Are we willing in our own lives to be compelled? Are we willing to go through what Joseph went through? Are we willing to see that the Lord utilizes the corruption and betrayals and deals and sinister behavior of others to compel us and force us in a direction we would not willingly go? Why is this all happening and positioning in 2026? Why are we watching the Ishmaelite traders come upon us? Why are we watching the deals being made between them and our own kind as the midterms are coming upon us, as 9/11 is coming upon us, as the 2028 election is only 2 years away? We are watching as Zohran Mamdani is raised up in New York City. This is all happening now. Because the enemy has a plan in 2027. And he is attempting to broker the deals and the betrayals and conspire now. This is why we have to recognize how the Lord may be utilizing this. Because we have to recognize this now. Because in 2027, after 10 years of hiding, the altar of Pergamum, known as the throne of Satan in Revelation 2, is being brought back out of hiding in Germany after undergoing 10 years of extensive repairs. The Ottomans, who were the Muslims, made a covenant with the Germans in 1879 for that altar. This is why we see the invasion in Europe happening now and attempting to come on our soil. The same year that altar is to be brought back out in 2027, I'll get to that in a moment. The same year that altar is being brought back out, which is 2027. By the way, that altar of Pergamum came to Germany before Hitler rose to power. A replica of that altar was created for Hitler's Nuremberg rallies, in which he stood atop the replica of the throne of Satan for those rallies. In 2008, a replica was created for the Ishmaelite candidate, Barack Obama, and he stood upon a replica of the throne of Satan at Mile High Stadium and gave his speech. So the Ishmaelites rising are attempting to make a deal is connected to the Ottoman Empire and this altar. This is why they're trying to take the midterms now. This is why this has all risen in 2026 the way it has. The same year in 2027 that this altar is brought back out, we have a full solar eclipse lasting over 6 minutes, the longest in a century, is set to occur in August of 2027, which will not only plunge Mecca, the holiest site of Islam, into darkness. Benghazi will be plunged into darkness too. Benghazi is where the Ishmaelite president, Barack Obama, was involved in a conspiracy and a cover-up. Part of Europe will be plunged into darkness as well after that altar comes back out. This is why we see the company of Ishmaelites mobilizing now. This is why they're coming to make a deal now. This is why a deal was made for New York City now. You have the Ottomans rising in a window where 9/11 is at the forefront, and a 9/11-1683 Battle of Vienna is forming. Vienna was called the Golden Apple and was a hub of commerce. President Trump said when he was elected, America is entering its golden age. New York City is known as the Big Apple. There is your Golden Apple. This is why it's on the rise now. And this is happening literally. These deals the Ishmaelites are making is compelling us, forcing us in a direction. And they think they're profiting. They think we're a commodity. They think they are in an advantageous position, but all they are is a tool in the hands of Almighty God to compel the nation and the church in the direction the Lord needs it to go. Are you willing to see things from a greater picture? Are you willing to allow the Lord to show you the greater picture that will take all that nearsightedness we have been operating in when it comes to what's rising in this nation and gain a whole new perspective on why things are being allowed to transpire? Even though the Ishmaelites have come, even though the company of Ishmaelite traders have come, even though they're upon us and they're looking to make a deal to enslave the nation. They're looking to make a deal to take the midterms. They're looking to make a deal to enslave cities, making deals with our own kind. That corruption is the very vehicle the Lord is using to position the next leader and to compel the nation and the church in the direction that he needs us to go. So they think they're rising. They think they're going to do jihad. They think they're going to take the land. They think they're going to take slaves. They think they're going to enslave the nation. Really, all they're being used by God is to position the next leader. They're being used the way the Ishmaelite traitors were used in Joseph's case to take him and compel him and force him to go to Egypt, where there he would be positioned through Potiphar's house and then betrayed to end up in the prison. So he's experienced two betrayals to be positioned for leader. Think about that one. Two betrayals he has experienced, and that is what positioned him to be raised up as leader out of the prison. It looked like it was all over for Joseph. It looked like he was on lockdown. It looked like he was going to be in the prison the rest of his days. And really, it was nothing more than a positioning using the corruption of man to put Joseph in the place he needed to be. It didn't look like the perfect place. It didn't look like the ideal place. It didn't look like a cookie cutter place. It was a prison. And in that prison, he meets the cupbearer that has the ear of Pharaoh. So when Pharaoh has a dream about seven healthy cows and seven sickly cows that ate the seven healthy cows, because God gave the dream. The only way a dream can be interpreted is one who has the spirit of Almighty God in them. The sorcerers couldn't do it. The magicians couldn't do it. The wise men couldn't do it because God gave the dream. So therefore, God owns the interpretation of the dream at that moment. And only one that is in covenant with Almighty God and has the spirit of Almighty God dwelling in him can interpret that dream. And Joseph was moved in all of their corruption, in every portion of it. He was being positioned as a leader to get to the prison to meet the cupbearer, who then 2 years later, when Pharaoh has a dream and nobody can interpret it, the cupbearer goes, "I met a man in prison, a Hebrew, with the spirit of God in him, and he interpreted my dream, and it happened just as he said." And in that moment, Joseph was the only individual in Egypt that had what Pharaoh needed. When God wants to get the attention of a leader of a nation, he will make sure they cannot find an answer in anyone that is outside of covenant with him, in anyone that does not have the spirit of Almighty God living in them. If that leader is looking for an answer to a question, to a dream that God has given, the only way they're getting the answer to it is if they align with the one that has the spirit of the Lord in them, that has the answer to that problem. Joseph had the answer. He was the only one in Egypt at the time that could do this successfully. And he's positioned before Pharaoh, and he not only interprets his dream, he gives him an entire national blueprint to save the entire nation of Egypt from famine. So Joseph just doesn't interpret the dream. He gives him the plan to save Egypt from famine. And Pharaoh couldn't find anybody else in Egypt as wise as Joseph. And Joseph at that moment goes from being a prisoner to prime minister over Egypt. Second in command, only under Pharaoh. Because what Pharaoh sought, only someone in covenant with Almighty God serving him has the capability to deliver. That's going to happen within the Trump administration in the next 2 years. You just watch. They're going to be looking for answers prophetically that others cannot give. because there's a compelling and a positioning happening. And the Lord allowed the Ishmaelite traitors to take the route they took that would pass by Joseph's brothers. God was steering. I want you to think about this. Almighty God was steering the Ishmaelites to take the path they were taking. So they would take the path right past Joseph's brothers. So Joseph's brothers would be compelled to make a deal to take Joseph now. And it looks like he's a slave for the rest of his life. And to temporarily allow him to be a slave, to compel him and move him to Egypt, to position him not only for leadership, but to save his own people. This is what we are watching happen. This is what we're watching happen. Everyone wants to get mad at Ishmael right now. And trust me, I understand with what they're saying and what they think and how they think and what is written in their Quran and their theology and their radical ideology. But all they are in their corruption right now is being used by Almighty God to compel the nation and the church in the direction it needs to go. They're positioning the next leader. They think they're getting a slave. They think they're getting positions in the house. They think they're taking over cities. They think they're getting into Congress. They think they're going to be senators. God is just utilizing them in all of their ignorance and corruption as the vehicle to help position the nation and its next leader. We have to catch a hold of this and pray into this, because this is what's happening. This is what's happening right now. The enemy has a plan with them. The enemy had a plan with the Ishmaelites. Enslave Joseph. Put him on lockdown. Almighty God had a plan to utilize them in the corruption as the vehicle to raise Joseph up. So right now in this nation, We have two sides of this here happening. The enemy is trying to raise up Ishmael to battle for a birthright, to use them as a vehicle to take a birthright that the enemy wants to this nation. Why do you think the governors of Massachusetts and New Jersey are ramping up their abortion legislation right now to shed innocent blood right before the midterms, to power altars, to battle for a birthright in this nation? Ishmael ultimately wants the birthright. The enemy knows that. Ishmael was denied the birthright at the beginning and it was given to Isaac. The enemy wants the birthright of America. He's utilizing Ishmael's own generational jealousy and desire for that birthright in an attempt to raise up to try to enslave America. However, Almighty God has already calculated this. He's already seen ahead. He's already seen what the enemy's going to do. He's already seen how Ishmael was going to act, the plots they were going to make, the deals they were going to make with our own. And that when that company of Ishmaelite traders came, they were just going to become the vehicle in all their corruption to position the next leader in this nation. So with what happens with the midterms, it may look like for a moment there's a detriment. It may look like for a moment that we're at a disadvantage. It may look like for a moment they've won. But really, they're just being used to carry the nation and the church and the next leader and compel it in the direction it needs to go to position it for 2028. That's what's happening in this nation. And this is how we have to pray. Because the Ishmaelites were a pawn in the hands of God to get Joseph into high leadership. That's all they were. He used their own corruption to do it. He used their own slave trading to do it. And had they known they were carrying the next leader of Egypt, that story would have ended very different. And this is why the Lord kept Joseph's brothers and the Ishmaelites and Potiphar's wife, ignorant to the fact that hidden within Joseph was about to be birthed a leader of an entire nation. Had any of them known, it would have derailed and destroyed what God was doing. So he left them in their ignorance. He utilized their corruption. He took it as a vehicle. He took Joseph and he let the Ishmaelites trade him for a moment to position him for the purpose that God had ordained before he was born, to raise him up at the exact appointed time that Egypt would need a godly man that hears from God to influence policy at the national level from God, to save his people from famine and preserve them, because hidden within the seed of Judah, the one who sold Joseph, was the line of Christ. So ultimately, everything God did was about preserving the line from which Christ would come through to be the Passover lamb to deliver humanity from their sin. The Ishmaelites were utilized. I want you to think about this. The Ishmaelites were utilized to preserve the line of Christ. Someone that they don't even believe is the Son of God. And the Ishmaelites were used in the line of Christ. They were used in that. They were used to preserve the one that had the seed in him for the line of Christ. They actually helped preserve that line. And Christ came forth because of that. Because Joseph ended up helping deliver the entire area from famine because the Ishmaelites helped position him there, which then preserved Judah, who had the seed in him of the line of Christ. And that is God's ultimate divine plan of deliverance. That is far above the corruption and the nearsightedness that we see in front of us now. We have to understand that. That people think God can't utilize people in their corruption. Oh, yes, he can. And oh, yes, he will. And he will use them to position leaders. The Ishmaelites right now in this nation, Ishmael thinks they're destroying this nation, thinks they're taking it over, thinks they're going to trade, thinks they've made a deal with the woke right, thinks they're going to use us as a commodity. It's all a vehicle for Almighty God to force us to go in the direction we need to go, go towards him, call on him, surrender to him, be willing in this nation to move in a godly direction, and the next leader will be positioned from that. That is the account of Joseph like you've never heard it before. Many of you have probably never heard it like this before. This is how the Lord gave it to me, to get us to understand that Islam doesn't have the power. The Ishmaelite traders don't have the power. None of them have it. Almighty God ultimately has the authority to utilize all of them in their corruption to preserve this nation and move it in the direction it needs to go. Keep that in mind. And that's the word of the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Okay, we got to start landing this plane, guys. I want to show you some photos from Engage Ministries when we were there. That was, there's another one. Yep. When we were there preaching for 2 days, Joseph and the Ishmaelites, a warning for 2028. So it was a wonderful time there. We absolutely love going to that church. I will be at Awaken the Nation in September in Washington, D.C. I'm going to be praying about the word to deliver from Washington, D.C., September 18th to the 20th. You could go to arcofgrace.org/events to learn more. Also, let's put a brace for impact. This book begins to unpack what I not only spoke about tonight, but what's coming in the next book. So we begin to unpack these years leading up to 2028, Embrace for Impact. And it is on Amazon and everywhere books are sold. You could go to arcofgrace.org, click on Embrace for Impact, and it'll take you to Amazon. 5 rare prophetic events that will trigger a spiritual tipping point. We are just beginning to scratch the surface here with what is aligning and what is happening in these years to come. So if you would like to get a copy of Embrace for Impact and read it before the sequel comes out, which we will be announcing the title soon of the next book, you can go to arcofgrace.org and click on it, and you can buy it off of Amazon, but it's available everywhere books are sold. Also, our social media handles: Rumble, YouTube, TikTok, Ark of Grace Ministries, Telegram, Ark of Grace News, Truth Social, Ark of Grace Ministries, Facebook, Ark of Grace Ministry with a Y, Instagram, Ark of Grace 88, X at Amanda Grace underscore AOG. We do have also our sanctuary. If you'd like to follow all the happenings of the animals here at Ark of Grace Sanctuary, you can go to TikTok, Facebook, Instagram. It's all Ark of Grace Sanctuary. Please like and subscribe. It does help us. It is free for you to do so, and we very much appreciate you doing that ahead of time. Let's put up the remnant. This is the remnant anointing oil. They do so much more than oil, but they have incredible anointing oil from 150-year-old olive trees. It is out of California. You can use promo code ARC10 for a 10% discount. Go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners. Click on the remnant and you can go on and see. They make an amazing face oil too. They make a beard oil for men. They make a host of products that are wonderful. So you can go to them to check out all that they have to offer. Also, the wellness company has a host of not only nutraceuticals, parasite cleanses, they have emergency medicine kits, but they also have amazing products for your teeth, for your wellness, for your health. And so you can use promo code GRACE. You get 10% off all nutraceuticals. You get $60 off their ivermectin, mebendazole, parasite cleanse, and you can get free shipping as well. So you can go to arcofgrace.org/ministry-partners, click on the wellness company, see all they have to offer. They have such an amazing variety of products on their website. Okay. Praise the Lord. I think that's where we're going to end for tonight, guys. So thank you for joining us tonight. I will be live on Thursday. So mark your calendars for Thursday. We will be going back on live on Thursday this week. We want to encourage you in the word to armor up according to Ephesians chapter 6. Psalm 91, I say it every single day. I encourage you to say it every single day. We also put Psalms up on the screen as well. Psalm 123, 34, 35, and 51. Ephesians 1, 16 through 20 and 3, 14 through 19 from the Believer's Authority. I say those scriptures every night before bed, as well as the Lord's Prayer in Matthew 6. We encourage you to incorporate that into your prayer life. Also, I'm going to encourage you, Genesis 37. Go read it. Go read the entire account of Joseph. You will never look at it the same again, given what we've talked about tonight with this nation and what really happened with Joseph. So we always want to encourage you as we leave in the word. So thank you, everyone, for joining us. Thank you to our moderators, our Ark of Grace team, for being on with us. Have a wonderful rest of your evening. We will be back on live on Thursday. Keep the faith.